There has never been a biennial exhibition like the biennial 2015 El Paso Ciudad Juarez before. The unique border parameters and special international collaborative nature of this particular contemporary biennial make it an unparalleled demonstration of the vitality of the artists of these two countries. This year, the El Paso Museum of Art and Museo de Arte de Ciudad Juarez had a total of 287 entries for the biennial, more than any previous year, out of which 44 artists were selected. The biennial exhibit will be on display at the El Paso Museum of Art from November 6th through February 7th, 2016. Here to talk about it is Dr. Patrick Shaw Cable, Senior Curator for the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
So how did you get 287 entries?
Good question. We've tried to bolster the number of entries through the years. So the last biennial, this is the fourth incarnation of the collaborative biennial with Juarez. The last biennial in 2013, we offered more prizes. Mm-hmm. So that really helped encourage getting the word out and getting more interest from artists who looked to those prizes as an incentive.
It's also important to note that it's not just our border. It's the entire U.S.-Mexico border.
Yes, and that's a really interesting thing about this biennial, which makes it unique among world biennials, because it really is devoted to the work of artists living all along the border, the Mexico-U.S. border, from west to east, and 200 miles north and south both of the border.
And really, you're talking about some major cities. You have,
yes,
you know, Los Angeles,
Tijuana. But then at the same time, it covers a really large area where a lot of these towns are isolated. So it's also a really good venue for a lot of artists, a singular opportunity to show their work in a competitive environment to public and critics.
Now, did you find that as you, the works were coming in, that the themes are still, I mean, they're very much about living on the border?
Often. In fact, we keep it entirely open to any theme, but not surprisingly, a lot of the artists really do look at border issues of culture or identity or immigration or violence, all kinds of issues. A lot of works I noticed this year look at the landscape either metaphorically or literally in very interesting ways.
We were talking about the logistics of the show.
Yes.
Can you walk us through how a biennial works? Because this is not your average show.
Correct. For us, compared to most typical exhibitions, it's one of the most complicated, especially for our registrar. We're very proud of her, Michelle Villa. She does the lion's share, even among the collaboration with Juarez. But basically what happens, every artist submits at least two works with the knowledge that one work, if they're chosen for the biennial, will be exhibited at the El Paso Museum of Art, and the other work will be exhibited at the Museo de Arte de Ciudad Juarez. And so in Juarez, all the Mexican artists' works are assembled by that museum leading up to the exhibition, and then the same for the U.S. artists at the El Paso Museum of Art. And then we plan a crossover where we exchange so that in the end, the result is every artist, both Mexican and American, has one work exhibited in El Paso and also at the same time in Juarez.
Does the artist tell you, I would like this piece exhibited in Mexico and this piece exhibited in the U.S., or is that entirely up to the curators? Who makes that decision?
The curators, yes.
And how do you decide?
Well, we try to have a balance between the two cities because it's, again, a two-venue simultaneous exhibition on either side of the border. So we want to have artists well represented on each side. And also we have to think about space constraints because we actually have a bigger space in El Paso than Juarez has in their museum institution. So we have to think about that as well.
And do you ever find yourself coveting a piece that was over there?
Yes.
But I'm sure they feel the same way.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the artists. We spread some out here. I'm really curious about this one in particular and her name. She's Turkish-born, is that correct?
Yes, she's Turkish-American, Belice Iriste.
She lives in San Diego.
But then she works in Ensenada. In fact, she's an interesting case because I've noticed a few artists remind us that immigration here is not just about from Mexico north to the U.S. She, for example, is a Turkish-American artist working in San Diego, but because of cost constraints, she has her studio in Ensenada, and her work is about being an immigrant in that border area. So she really combines all kinds of cultures, and that's what she examines in her work as well.
And I feel like that kind of situation happens a lot here, especially with sculptors or 3D, three-dimensional artists. It's just, there's a foundry in Juarez, there's more.
Yes.
I mean, you can have a studio there. And so to find that that is actually happening and that, you know, there's that life that exists, I think to the artist, it's just every day. But I think to the normal person, it's, you know, wow, a truly binational happening.
Yes.
Let's talk about these two photographers from El Paso that will be on display, Arturo Enriquez and Federico Villalba. I like how you expressed their medium and really being street photographers. Can you tell us about them a little bit?
Yes, I found it interesting. You know, in this day and age of digital manipulation, which is also cool, these photographers, they're really interested in doing pretty much straight documentary photography, some in black and white, these two in color. But they're really interested thereby, in my mind, expressing a social realist intent because their subjects are very ordinary people of the region. And they meet them and converse with them and get to know them. So it's a very socially immersive experience for them to do this straight documentary photography of these otherwise anonymous people until they met them.
And I was reading Arturo's statement, you know, and he had talked about this awkward exchange that he had with the gentleman on the bicycle.
Yes.
But then he talked about the woman who you say will be displayed in what is the Lady of Colors, I think it's
yes.
called. And he talks about how he could feel a woman's stare. And he turns around, and there she is, a woman with a halo. Really, it's an umbrella.
Yes.
But to have that exchange and to capture it and to be able to share it.
I agree. And I like, too, you can tell his, again, to him, until he started talking with her, she was totally anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts describing how you can tell she has this sort of inerrant pride. And he's sort of modest about asking her, can I take your photo? And she just looks at him and says, yes.
She's all sure. And even the look she's giving in
yes.
the photo is like, yeah, I know, I'm cool. Like, so what? You know?
Yes.
Super cool. How about Andres Juarez Troncoso? He was talking about his obsessions with the Virgin Mary or these, like, virginal. Speaking of the topic, you know, this halo, this woman. And he kind of has a more contemporary take on that image of the Virgin.
Yes, and they're really beautiful photographs, too. And basically, yes, his intention, he writes about, as a child, he saw all these examples of the Virgin Mary in churches, very sumptuously attired, and then he was wondering why there's so many. And then, of course, he was reminded by the priest or whoever he asked that they were named after the location in which they appeared or where they meant the most. But then he said he started looking around and said, why aren't there any obese or poor or bedraggled virgins in the history of art? And then later he said he came up with this idea. I guess he calls them las otras impolutas.
Yeah, las otras impolutas, the spotless others.
So he makes his own versions of Virgin Marys.
Yeah, you don't
from
have
a
to
contemporary
be perfect.
Perspective. Exactly. And they're actually really beautiful photographs as well. So in a way, they're very different from the photographers we were just talking about because they're obviously manipulated to some degree and they have this sort of beautiful landscape in the background as a backdrop to these people who are really spotlighted and made very beautiful with the shining light on them.
And you talk about the landscape. I mean, he's from California, and you can see the different cacti. You know, people think a saguaro lives here, but you're not going to see one here. And yet it's very
yes.
much from his border. Now, this is the fourth year. How did it start? Or how did you build this collaboration with Juarez?
The first official biennial was in 2008, and then the next 2010, 2013, and then this year, starting in 2015. But it actually grew out of an original project that the El Paso Museum of Art organized. My colleague, Christian Gerstheimer, curated the show. It was called Sister Cities, Art Along the Border.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the first investigation of Art Along the Border. And then under our previous director, Michael Tomar, we began to collaborate and decide to make a biennial that was on that theme, basically, with Juarez.
And this biennial, I mean, it really is one of the most liveliest, most well-attended.
Yes.
I mean, it's a party.
Yes.
So speaking of the party, when's the opening reception?
We try to have our receptions on consecutive days so that people can attend both, if possible. And El Paso's reception will be Thursday, the 6th of November in the evening, starting at 6. And then the next evening will be that reception in Juarez.
So I should say the parties.
Yes.
Must be a great week for you all to celebrate all your great work.
Yes, and it's nice to meet all of the artists and honor them with the reception.
Very cool. Well, if you'll wrap us around again, give us the nitty-gritty. The biennial opens on Thursday
here
in El Paso, Friday in Juarez. But it's pretty much going to go on through January. So you've got...
Yes, up until early 7th of February.
Oh, February.
So
even
months.
Better. You've got plenty of time to catch the show. And,
yes.
And really is one of my favorites that the museum does, you know, partly because you recognize some of the people. You're like, oh, hey, I know that guy. And you get to see them in that, I guess, see them actualized. Something about being in a museum,
yes.
Right? But then also to learn everybody else's border, because we are truly unique. And it's really nice
True.
To come together and see that.
And it's nice to see them in this diverse arena and also competitive arena. So you can critically compare artists from all along the border with each other.
Do you know if any collaborations have been born within the artists from meeting at the biennial?
I can't think offhand if that's the case, but I wouldn't be surprised for sure.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect coming together of minds.
Though it does remind me, the artist we were talking about earlier, Federico Villalba,
mm-hmm.
we're actually, I don't know if you remember, there was a CTB Arts Festival, Chalk the Block Arts Festival event a few years ago where Carl Whitaker, he has this whole band of Southwest printmakers, mm-hmm. contemporary printmakers. It's sort of a printmaking collaborative. So they work together. And this year they're going to do what they call Desert Triangle Carpeta.
How fun.
And we're going to hopefully share that exhibit in early 2016 at the museum.
Well, you heard it here first. Today, my guest has been Dr. Patrick Shaw Cable, Senior Curator for the El Paso Museum of Art. And we invite you all to check out the Biennial 2015 in Ciudad Juarez and El Paso, Texas.